I think it was probably the pain of his broken ankle that pushed him over the edge.
Guess that makes sense. Danny never coped too well with suffering. I remember the time he was way south in Mex country after Mustangs. Picked up some of them pokies.
Oh, I had one once in my right ear. Where did they get him?
Pokies were small beetles that were found both north and south of the Big Grandee. They had black iridescent bodies, about an inch long and a third of an inch across. Their legs were tipped with barbed spikes that hooked themselves onto anything convenient. They also had hugely disproportionate jaws, like miniature scythes. Their name came from their ceaseless desire to poke into the warm, moist places of the human body. Once there, they would hook onto the living flesh and start eating, dining in comfort on fresh meat. There was no orifice known to man or woman that a pokey wouldn't try for. Sleeping on the ground often meant tying lengths of whipcord around the bottoms of your pant legs to try to keep them out. But then there were ears, noses, and mouths. Ryan had even heard ghastly tales of pokies insinuating themselves into the tear ducts at the corner of a sleeping man's eyes, working their way deeper and deeper. But the folklore on pokies concentrated far more on their affinity for the lower regions of the human body. Ryan recalled a scrawled warning he'd once seen on the tarred wall of an outhouse. No good standing on the seat. Pokies here can jump 6 feet. Ryan had never personally witnessed anyone who'd been attacked by the burrowing insects, but Deathland's lore was full of tales. A man who'd been squatting to relieve himself had been penetrated. A woman who'd been bathing in a shallow lake on the Keys. Best known, and probably apocryphal, was the wretched man taking his pleasure in a gaudy with a breed whore. He didn't know she was infested with pokies. The carnivorous little creatures traveled from her to him during intercourse. Rumor was he'd finally gone insane and poured gasoline over his member and made himself a Roman candle.
Where did they,
Oh, shit, he had him up his nose. 3 of them. I got him out with salt, but he sure made a fuss. Pain was... hell. There's no use. Boy's dead, and that's the end of it.
Someone coming.
Changing sentries.
One eye! I know you're in there.
Might as well answer, lover. Or she'll call the sentries and they'll be on the alert. Find Danny's corpse.
You better see what she wants. Yeah?
Knew you was in there.
What do you want?
You out here.
Why?
Me to know and you to fucking find out. Just get out here, one eye.
Ryan stood, his hands fumbling to keep his balance as he picked his way between the others. He looked up, able to see only a dim shape through the bars of the grill.
I'm here.
Rest of you stay real still. Got plenty of blasters up top. Just one eye comes out.
One of the sticky guards said something, and there was a burst of soft, obscene giggling. Bolts grated, and the grill was hauled off to one side, sliding across the bare rock. Ryan smelled the familiar scent of burning torch oil, and the orange flames danced around him. Coming from the blackness of the kiva, it was difficult to make out how many of the stickies were around him, but his eye caught light off musket barrels.
Get his hands tied good behind him. Want to do what I want to the norm with no trouble.
How about his feet, Marcy?
Best tie his feet to the bottom of her bed, or he'll get sucked out of sight. Charlie'll never see him again, and he wouldn't like that.
Control, lover. Think control.
It was good advice, but it didn't do Ryan much good. Ryan had tried the old trick of flexing his muscles when they began to bind his wrists behind him, so that he might win a little play in the narrow length of whipcord. The stickies might have been stupid in a lot of ways, but they knew about tying norms up so that they stayed tied. As soon as they spotted what Ryan was trying to do, one of them punched him in the stomach. This made him relax so that the cords could be pulled brutally, efficiently tight.
Don't hurt the norm, or I'll cut your balls off, Jack.
I'll leave the hurting to you, Marcy.
Ryan heard the grill slide back and bolted into place again. A loop of coarse hemp rope was slipped over his head and pulled until it closed around his throat. The muty woman held the other end in her right hand, and she jerked hard at it, making Ryan go stumbling after her. The female Sticky's tumbled house was at the far end of the camp, nearest to the ravine and the muttering stream. It was back under the lee of the massive cliff's overhang, the smoke-crusted stone soaring into the darkness above it. She pulled him through the doorway, which was hung with a length of dusty sacking. A single torch was jammed into a hole in the ancient brickwork, showing a three-legged table propped in a corner. A stout-framed bed with a yellow blanket crumpled on top of it occupied a large area of the room. Ryan had time to notice a faded picture pinned above the head of the bed. It seemed to show two naked men, one kneeling in front of the other. The shadows concealed what they were doing, but it didn't take a giant leap of the imagination to guess. The Sticky turned to face Ryan, confirming his suspicion that it was the same female who'd accidentally spilled the stew on him and used it as an excuse to feel him up.
Well, ain't this fucking cozy, One-Eye? They call you Ryan, don't they?
When Ryan didn't answer immediately, she reached out and laid her suckered left hand against his cheek, the tip of the index finger just touching his good right eye.
Want to lose this baby blue glim as well?
No.
Her breath was like the firefight stench of punctured guts, the protruding eyes, as cold and dead as a basking shark.
So? Ryan?
Yeah?
I'm Marcy. Now we know each other's name. We can get to it.
The hand moved from his face. Lower. Ryan lost track of how long the woman had kept him in her stinking hovel. He consciously tried to use techniques that Christy had attempted to teach him, ways of controlling the mind, and through the mind, the body, ways of moving out of the horrors of the immediate present, ways that failed him utterly under the manipulations of the Sticky female. Marcy wouldn't take any chances, so Ryan's hand stayed tied behind his back. But that didn't stop her from stripping him naked below the waist, pulling his pants off over the combat boots. Ryan considered trying to kick her unconscious, but she was too careful. She was also extremely strong, her naked body rippling with ridges of muscle. He figured her at close to 6 feet, with a fighting weight of about 180 pounds. Apart from the rings of bristles around her thick nipples, Marcy had a nest of pubic hair that curled up to her navel and seeped onto the tops of her powerful thighs. She took the rope around his neck and knotted the loose end to the top of the bed.
Move, and you strangle yourself, Ryan. I'll do all the moving for both of us.
Despite his efforts, Ryan rose to her. The fingers, with their hundreds of tiny lips, were surprisingly delicate, touching and fondling him, pressing with insistent lust between his legs. Ryan made the serious mistake of trying to close his thighs against her. Marcy simply sat up.
Do that again, and I'll use my hands on your chest. Peel little round circles of skin off you like acid, One-Eye. Best be nice and give me your best shot. Do that, and you might get back alive to the firehead Norm bitch.
The mutie's orgasms were like wrestling with a puma and a typhoon. Marcy rode him like a vaquero spurring an unbroken stallion, her heels digging into his thighs, rising and falling faster and faster. After the second one, she lay flat against him, her sweat running down both sides of his chest, her face against his stubbled chin, fingers groping across his stomach to keep him ready. With an enormous effort, Ryan had managed to tread the tightrope between losing his erection through a sickly disgust and risking Marcy's violent displeasure by coming himself. During the third time around, she had leaned over him and jammed fingers into the corner of his mouth to force it open, deliberately dribbling a thread of frothy saliva between his parted lips. She grinned at his struggle not to throw up.
Mm-hmm. You puke, and the fourth time is with your tongue up me, Norm. In fact, we'll make that one into a real nice...